You're listening to a message from Every Nation Canberra. In this message, Nathan Ricabo uses Jeremiah 29 to remind us that while God is the provider of hope and peace, He is also the provider of instruction and correction.
Now, as I mentioned before, we are going to be continuing our Summer at the Movies series, and this is part 4. And we'll be reading from Jeremiah chapter 29. So if you have your Bibles or your Bible apps, I encourage you to open your phones and your books to that chapter, Jeremiah 29. Over the past month, we have been looking at stories in the Bible in short movie forms. We started with Abraham's test of faith, followed by the widow and the oil. Last week, we watched a very sobering message about the rich man and Lazarus. And next week, we will be closing this series with Abram's reward. This morning, though, we will be looking at the story of Jeremiah's letter to the exiled Israelites, which on the surface may seem like a simple message of hope, but there is even more to it than that, and we will be diving a little deeper into that as we discuss this passage. Now, before we feed our souls with the reading of the word, and before we feed our stomachs with some popcorn snacks, and if you don't have some, I think the kids have taken a couple of the bags there. You're welcome to grab a couple during the short movie. But I do want to share something that personally grieved my heart last week. And what happened was, at the end of the preaching, as we all started to walk out of the church, I turned around to head to the door, and I noticed just piles and scatters of popcorn bits all over the floor. This is a place where we are to worship God. We're meant to revere Him. We're to meditate on His word. And yet this sort of sacred sanctuary looked more like a Hoyts cinema when the lights are turned on at the end of the school holidays. It wasn't great. I'm not going to stop you from enjoying a snack this morning as we watch, but I do want you to think about where you are this morning. This is meant to be a sacred congregation of saints, right? Where we just took communion to talk about the seriousness of why we do the things we do here. We remembered what our God, our Savior, what our Lord did on the cross for us. So I just ask that you might respect this time and respect this place a little bit more. I apologize for a bit of a heavy message to begin things, but let's get into the word with Jeremiah chapter 29. From verse 1. These are the words of the letter that Jeremiah the prophet sent from Jerusalem to the surviving elders of the exiles, and to the priests, the prophets, and all the people whom Nebuchadnezzar had taken into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon. This was after King Jeconiah and the queen mother, the eunuchs, the officials of Judah and Jerusalem, the craftsmen, and the metal workers had departed from Jerusalem. The letter was sent by the hand of Elisha, the son of Shaphan, and Gemariah, the son of Hilkiah, whom Zedekiah, king of Judah, sent to Babylon to Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon. It said, "Thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, to all the exiles whom I have sent into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon. Build houses and live in them. Plant gardens and eat their produce. Take wives and have sons and daughters. Take wives for your sons and give your daughters in marriage, that they may bear sons and daughters. Multiply there and do not decrease. But seek the welfare of the city where I have sent you into exile and pray to the Lord on its behalf. For in its welfare, you will find your welfare. For thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, do not let your prophets and your diviners who are among you deceive you, and do not listen to the dreams that they dream. For it is a lie that they are prophesying to you in my name. I did not send them, declares the Lord. For thus says the Lord, when 70 years are completed for Babylon, I will visit you, and I will fulfill to you my promise and bring you back to this place. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for welfare and not for evil, to give you a future and a hope. Then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will hear you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. I'll be found by you, declares the Lord, and I will restore your fortunes and gather you from all the nations and all the places where I have driven you, declares the Lord, and I will bring you back to the place from which I sent you into exile. This is the word of the Lord.
We regret that we cannot broadcast the video shown during this worship service. You may watch the video via the link provided in the podcast notes.
The book of Jeremiah is quite a lengthy one, even for Old Testament standards. And it's also a little confusing with its timeline, talking about Jeremiah's life and also sort of switching between that and his messages to Israel from God. But it is a fascinating and very emotional book. The overall theme of Jeremiah's story goes a little something like this. God's people had dishonored him. They disrespected him. They disobeyed him for nearly 500 years. And for their disobedience, God had allowed them to be captured by the Babylonians, who were ruled under King Nebuchadnezzar. He conquered Jerusalem and took the Israelites into captivity. Now, all throughout this time, there were these false prophets who were going around telling Israel and their king that God would not let them fall to Babylon, and that he would give them victory over Babylon in battle. However, this was, of course, wrong. Then, when the Israelites were captured and exiled, the false prophets still kept telling the people that God would deliver them back into Jerusalem quickly and swiftly. And this was wrong again. In the meantime, Jeremiah and a few other prophets who truly were sent by God tried to warn Israel to turn back to God. First, to warn them that the Babylonians would be coming and that they would be defeated if they didn't turn away from their disobedience. And when they finally understood their situation and it was all a little too late, Jeremiah sent this letter to the exiled, which is what we've just watched. It's important to provide this context because Jeremiah 29 is a very beautiful letter of encouragement and of hope from God, but it is also often misunderstood and taken out of place, particularly Jeremiah 29:11. "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for welfare and not for evil, to give you a future and a hope." I know many people have this as one of their sort of life verses. I remember as a young Christian that it was one of mine as well. But that was before I studied my Bible a little more diligently. Before I realized that while 2 Timothy does tell us that all scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, correction, and training in righteousness, it does not tell us that all prophecies and promises in the Bible are given and meant for us. But that doesn't mean that we can't learn something important from the story of the exiled people. We just need to first understand that while, yes, it is certainly a letter of hope, it is more akin to a parent who has had to punish their child, but then have to give them the assurance that they still love them and that they're doing this for their own good. There are, therefore, two lessons, I believe, that we can draw from the experience of the exiles coming from Jeremiah's letter. The first lesson is in understanding this sort of punishment aspect and correctal act by God. Why he allowed them to be forced out of the promised land and into the hands of their enemy. And this is something we sort of already, I guess, just talked about while discussing and setting the scene. We have over the past few weeks been talking about different ways that God provides, but often we overlook a particular provision that God also gives, and that's that God has given his people a set of commandments and a set of instructions to follow and to show their obedience to God. All the way back when Moses gave the Israelites the Ten Commandments and the Mosaic Law, there was one law where the Israelites were to observe the Sabbath year. So for 6 years, God's people were to work hard, they're to sow seeds in the fields, and they're to reap their harvest. But in the seventh year, God commanded them to give the land solemn rest. He assured them that there would be sufficient produce to feed their people and to feed their livestock during that year, but they had to make sure that the land was able to get rest as well. But for 490 years, God's people ignored this command and also disobeyed him in many other ways. They did not listen to him and they disrespected his law. 490 years of this disobedience meant that 70 Sabbath years were ignored. And so God scattered the people out of Jerusalem for that 70 years, so that the land could get those years back in rest, just as God said he would do in Leviticus. God provides us with instruction, and as our Heavenly Father, he often has to also provide us with correction. My question to you is, Have you been forgetting God and His commandments lately? We're always so keen to get our prayers answered or hear about how if we have faith in Him, God will provide us what we want and what we need. But so often we are quick to forget that God has also provided us with commandments and instructions that we should be following. Do not forget to honor God and His commandments. We are to put Him above all things in our lives. We are to remember to make disciples and to preach His word. We are not to neglect coming to church and congregating to honor our Lord. And these things should not only be done on a Saturday or on a Sunday morning, but we are to honor God in every way, every day. Today we are not bound by Mosaic law, which unfortunately means that there's no such thing as a long Sabbath leave, but it doesn't change the fact that God is our God, and therefore we have to be actively obeying Him. And when we are forgetting God and we are putting worldly things in front of Him in our lives, then we shouldn't be too surprised when God allows difficulties and trials and tribulations to come our way, because that's a form of correction to bring us back to Him. And this is what He had to do with Israel to stop them from disobeying His laws. But God doesn't just leave it at the punishment. God still has a message of hope for the exiled, because that is the sort of God that we serve. One who knows that we are going to stumble and we are going to sin, and we will sometimes forget Him and not put Him first. But He still loves us. He still will never forget us, and He's the one person that we can trust to keep His promises. The Israelites have been promised Jerusalem and its surrounding lands by God, and while there may be moments in history where they are not inhabiting that land, God still has promised it to them. Let's read Jeremiah 29:11 again, but let's read from a verse up for extra context. For thus says the Lord, when 70 years are completed for Babylon, I will visit you, and I will fulfill to you my promise and bring you back to this place. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for welfare and not for evil, to give you a future and a hope. When we read verse 11 with some other context within the passage, it makes it a lot more clear that this promise outlined here is not for us, it's for Israel. And it's not even for the Israelites who actually first hear this message. After all, it will be 70 years before God actually brings them back to the promised land. Those listening and many of their children even will not live to see their people return. And that is why God, through Jeremiah, tells them to build houses, to plant gardens, and to get married. This is going to be their home for the next 70 years, so they better get comfortable. Do not listen to the false teachers and the false prophets who provide you with words of encouragement that they claim to be from God, but it's not. They say that they're going to be taken away from Babylon soon, but in fact, God is doing exactly what He told them He would do for their disobedience in the Bible. And that is why Israel is told to pray for the welfare of Babylon. In the movie, we saw the NIV being used, and that version of it says that we should pray for the prosperity of Babylon, for where they prosper, Israel will find prosperity too. But I personally don't think that it's a very good translation for the original Hebrew word shalom, which many might know is more akin to traditional meanings of peace and of welfare. God is telling Israel to pray for the peace in Babylon, because where Babylon finds peace, Israel will find peace also. And that is what God is reminding His people in this passage as well. He has promised them peace. He has promised them a future in the land that He gave them and a hope in knowing that His promises will come to pass. He is, of course, the Lord of hosts who sees all things past, present, and future. And He has declared that their lineage would not end as captives in Babylon. Israel would one day return to the promised land. And 70 years later, when they have given the 70 years of rest for their lands, and with the fall of Babylon and the rise of the Persian Empire, Israel was indeed allowed to return to Jerusalem and restore their city. Now, this promise and this message, as I said, is not for us as Christians today, but it is a reminder that God keeps all His promises, including the promises that He gives to us. To those who have repented of their sins, who have acknowledged that Jesus, God the Son, died on the cross to atone for our sins where we could not, and that he defeated death and resurrected 3 days later. To those who believe in this, to those who believe in him, God has promised eternal security and life with him. To the believing Christian, God gives us a promise of a future and a blessed hope with Christ. And if nothing else in this life, knowing that God will fulfill this promise should give us peace. So please remember these lessons as you go out today. God is the provider of hope and the provider of peace, but he's also the provider of instruction and of correction. Let us not forget to honor God, and let us not forget that God will always honor his promises. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you for this time you've given us. Thank you for this message today, the story of the exiled who have become an example for us to remember that you will always keep your promises. Lord, you are a great provider. You give us our daily bread and you answer our prayers. You have provided us with great promises, but you are a provider of law and of instruction as well. Use that to guide us, to guide your people, to show us what you have deemed to be right and to be good. And so, Lord, I pray that you will help us to never forget your ways and that we will honor you in all of our days, putting you first. In the name of Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen and amen. Thank you, church, for coming. Thank you for listening to the message today.
You just heard a message from Every Nation Canberra. For more podcasts and for more information on Every Nation Canberra, please visit everynationcanberra.org. Follow us on Facebook at facebook.com/everynationcanberra and on Instagram at instagram.com/encanberra. We meet every Saturday at 104 The Valley Avenue, Gungahlin. Would you like to be connected to a tag group? Email us at everynationcanberra@gmail.com.